mics are live.
I think it's you. Not you, though. Not you.
Curly's not quite two yet. That doesn't happen.
159.
It's two.
Clock is off.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is a work session of the North Dakota Public Service Commission on case number PU-18-223. It's probably not a common understanding, so just a little background. A work session is not a public hearing, and it's not a meeting. At public hearings is where we would take public input and that sort of thing. At regular or special meetings is when we take final action. This is a work session, and because of open records issues and things like that, when leading up to this, we're not able to sit down and discuss these cases. So this is our chance to discuss a case with our staff, and so that's why there's not public input taken at it. I'm Commissioner Randy Christman, the chair of the commission, joined by Commissioner Brian Krasius and Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. As far as opening comments other than that, I'm just going to say that this is kind of a different scenario than probably most of the cases that we have for our work sessions. And by the way, we are broadcasting, so greetings to our viewing or listening audience. In many cases, we get to the work session and we have had hearings or something like that, and it's a matter of needing to prepare an order and what should be in that order. And so we're sitting down to discuss the details that we'd like staff to prepare for an order. And then, of course, a commissioner might sense that they're going to be not in the majority on that, and thus would want to go ahead and be preparing a dissent. In this case, it's a little different than normal. We have requested a recommended order from a substantive administrative law judge, and we have that recommendation here. And so I'm curious, before we really get into the meat of the discussion, if my fellow commissioners feel differently than I guess I'm coming into this feeling like this work session now is about this recommended order and trying to prepare it so that if it were going to pass or be approved at a regular or special meeting, it would be correctly written. And then at that point, someone could have a dissenting order, or if it didn't pass, we could go back to the drawing board and start fresh or something. So that's the way I'm looking at this work session, as something to deal with this order and getting it prepared to vote on, whether that's to vote for it or against it. So is this your portfolio? I'll turn it to Commissioner Krasius for opening comments then, and then we'll turn it to Commissioner Fedorchak, whose portfolio this is.
Okay, I really don't have any opening comments. I think I see it in a similar way, but also want to hear from staff in terms of what their recommendations are and next steps as well.
Commissioner Fedorchak.
Okay. Thank you, Andy and Brian. I'm comfortable with moving forward in the way that you outlined. I view it slightly different. I think the order from the judge was presented as a recommended order that we can deny if we so choose to move forward in a different path. And so I don't think that we're limited to just talking about this order, but the you know, broader issues at hand. And so I appreciated getting the judges, the ALJ or the substantive ALJ's recommendation, and sought that because there's a lot of issues at hand in this case, and there was a lot of briefs going back and forth between the parties on this case, and it's a lot for us with our limited staff to digest and think about. I thought it was good to get another legal mind and analyzing this, and I think the analysis is pretty strong. So I've had private conversations with staff on this leading up to this meeting, and so I guess, and I have some thoughts myself on this case, but rather than start there, I guess I'd be open to my colleagues asking any questions that you'd like of staff, and starting with that, and then we can proceed from there, depending on how the discussion goes.
Okay. So, well, again, as for me, unless this drifts a different way than what I'm imagining, first of all, I'll just say, when you say limited staff, I agree as far as size, but not as quality. Small size,
very good
extraordinary
clarification.
Quality.
Very but, good clarification.
I guess as I try and I think I feel my responsibility at this point is I'm trying to get this order into there's a couple things that I see that I think should be changed slightly in case it passes. Doesn't mean I'm going to vote for it. Doesn't mean I'm going to vote against it. But I think we have a proposed order from a judge. I think we at some point in a meeting need to deal with it. Up or down, but in case it's up, I think we need to get it in the proper order. So I'll throw out a couple things that I had concerns about, and I don't know who's going to, if Jack, are you going to be taking the questions? Or on page 10 in the findings of fact, the fourth one, If this were to be adopted, this says when plan, and this is a small technicality, but it's the kind of thing I hate watching people get caught up in. It says that when plans to increase the facility beyond the 49.5 barrel per day are implemented, that plan subjects the entire facility to review and approval process. Actually, they could, under this order, increase it by another 499 barrels. So that should be, instead of beyond 49.5, it should be 250,000 or more, correct?
That's correct, Commissioner.
And then, I'm not sure why I started there, but earlier on pages 4 and 5, regarding the argument regarding Meridian's motion to dismiss being timely, in the first paragraph it mentions that the argument was withdrawn. And so is there really reason for three more paragraphs explaining why the timeliness is not an issue, or could it just end after the fact that it was withdrawn?
Mr. Chairman, it's probably not necessary, but I really wouldn't see the need to remove it as well. I mean, he does just do the full analysis on it, and certainly doesn't harm anything by having it in there.
Jack, just from a technicality standpoint, is this like a settlement agreement where you adopt the order and have like a sheet on the front that says the commission adopts this order with the following changes? Is it that, or do we actually, if we were to go this route, take this as a basis and write our own from scratch?
Commissioner, there are a number of ways this can be done. I wouldn't view it as a settlement, similar to that, but ultimately how we could go about it is we...
I mean, I don't want it. It's not a settlement, but you know what I mean, the process that we use in a settlement where it's like just the process, not the idea that this is somehow a settlement. No, I don't mean that at all.
For the purposes of writing the order, we could process it in that manner, as in writing the order, adopting this with
okay.
subject to our changes. Or
okay.
we could take the whole thing and rewrite it as
okay.
well.
Yeah, and do we have to take any formal action on this at all? Or can it just be under
yes.
advisement? Like Randy was suggesting, that we had to at some point vote on this actual order.
Yes, we would ultimately have to do a formal motion and order on that.
It becomes final if you don't do anything
okay.
by law.
Right.
All right.
For a situation where a decision maker just doesn't deal with it or something, it becomes final. But the law also says that you can accept it or reject it and make changes to it. So,
but no action is acceptance, correct?
Right. It's going to become final.
And is there a time on that? Is
it, I don't think.
60 days or something like that?
I'm looking. Subject to check, I don't see a time on the page I printed.
Okay.
If it's on the previous page, I don't know it right now. Okay.
Crashes, did you have questions?
No, not right now.
So, Jack, do you want to speak to your review of the proposed order, your analysis, and you know, the strengths and weaknesses of it, that as you see, things that we should be thinking about?
Sure, Commissioner, I'd be happy to do that. I did go through it. It seemed like a reasonable legal analysis, if that's the interpretation that the Commissioner would like to take on the Siting Act. There were some things that I did have some concern. I think I expressed them to all three of you at some point in time or another. At least some things for the purposes of we were probably writing the order that we may not have gone about writing, such as on page 9, the last sentence on the first paragraph. However, even taking these assumptions as true, the PSC does not have statutory authorization to assert jurisdiction below its threshold of 50,000 barrels per day or engage in speculation now about the company's plans for future expansion. The second half of that sentence, or to engage in speculation now about the company's plans for future expansion. For that portion, I'm not sure if I would have expressed that from legal counsel's perspective for the commission. I would think probably the fact that we already had them in here to have a discussion would indicate that we would be able to investigate that already, and I would assert that we should be able to as well.
How does that relate to our, though, that second piece, speculating about the plans for future expansion? How does that relate to our obligation right now?
I'm sure you can clarify that, Commissioner.
How does that line that says that basically the PSC does not have the current jurisdiction or the jurisdiction to below the 50,000 barrels per day threshold or to engage in speculation now about the company's plans for future expansion. Are you saying that we do have the, even though it isn't jurisdictional now, as proposed at 49.5, we do have the ability or should have or have some reason to speculate about what their plans for future expansion are? Either of you, Alana or Jack?
I would argue that we should be able to have the ability to investigate that. With regards to this current circumstance, we did to some degree as well. We called them in. We had a sit-down discussion with them, and that was an investigation as well as a request about the information they would provide regarding the jurisdictional determination as well, if you recall that.
So then what you're saying is we have the ability to investigate and weigh whether we believe what's being said, whether we have additional concerns or reason to believe, or they provide evidence to suggest at the time that they're going to be larger than the threshold, something of that nature, but just
sure,
keeping open the door that we have that ability to ask those questions, is what you're saying.
I would like to keep that door open.
Okay.
And does the fact that we've done this work keep that door open, or would leaving that line in here, if this order were approved, close that door?
Mr. Chairman, I believe that we could probably accept the order as recommended, and then we could probably just clarify our position on that particular item itself. The fact that we did it, I'm not sure that would indicate much. I mean, maybe it was all voluntary, but that would be a simple clarification that we could provide in any order that we do.
And those kind of conversations occur all the time here with companies talking about, you know, their plans, their lots of times they come to us asking for clarification on whether we have jurisdiction or not. So those are things that we do investigate pretty regularly.
Commissioner Voracek, that's correct. We do that frequently.
Okay, what else, Jack?
For the most part, that was the specific item that I had the most concern on. I did want to bring to the attention of the commission that there was a filing this morning as well. And so before we could take action on this, I would recommend that we would wait until the ALJ has provided some sort of order or decision on that as well.
Is this docket number 22?
I don't have the docket numbers in front of me, but it's the motion to reopen and consider additional information.
Okay.
But it's correct in that it hasn't been closed.
Commissioner Karasius, I believe that the record is still open.
So is there a timeline on that, on this new thing?
Subject to check, Commissioner Fedorchek, I expect that we'd have something in 10 days.
Okay.
Or it would be open for 10 days and then the opportunity for the ALJ to provide something back to us.
And he does that within the 10 days or it's open for 10 days?
It's open for 10 days for response then after that. But I imagine it would be fairly quickly after that.
Okay.
So does the company respond to that? Am I understanding that it's open for 10 days for the company or for others to respond to that? And then after those 10 days, the judge weighs in?
Mr. Chairman, that it would be a 10-day period for which the company, if they chose to respond, would respond with it.
I think the legal counsel will say subject to check on that, too, because it's possible that it's slightly longer, but 10 days to 2 weeks. I just don't remember if that particular rule changed. I apologize.
Well, neither of you guys have more questions?
I do not.
Brian?
No, I do not.
Okay. Well, I guess it's always helpful, for me at least, if I get a sense where you guys are on things during these work sessions too, since this is our opportunity to talk with staff and to hear each other's thoughts. So I'm assuming it's helpful if you hear from your colleagues as well, so I'll share mine in the hopes that maybe you guys will share yours as well so we can get a sense on where people are, at least at this point. So we've had a lot of information come in over this on this subject and this issue, and I've spent a lot of time looking at the law and talking with our attorneys about this, and for me, it really comes down to the Siting Act and the conditions under which it was created or its purpose. So, and it seems clear to me that the legislature developed the Siting Act to provide for orderly development of our energy resources and to ensure that there's minimal impact in that development process on the environment and the human, well, basically, in the words of the Siting Act, minimal adverse human and environmental impact. And then in doing so, they provided definitions that for projects, which in effect declare the point, I'm assuming during the legislative process, they developed those definitions to provide a point at which they, the policymakers, determined that these projects no longer can be assumed to have minimal impact. So here's the threshold. And so in each of the various energy conversion facility and transmission facilities that we have jurisdiction over, there's a threshold for our action that triggers the environmental and cultural review. And so that threshold for the oil refineries is 50,000 barrels per day. After that point, companies have to come here for a permit. We do the environmental review. We do the cultural resources review. We have the public hearings, the whole process. under that point, there is assumed, the projects are assumed to have minimal impact based on the law. So people can have opinions about whether the jurisdictional levels are appropriate, and those have changed over the years in various for various energy conversion facilities. But the law is pretty clear that it's when the sites become greater than the jurisdiction. They even contemplated this phased-in approach and said clearly, if they're phased in, when it becomes above the threshold, then it is jurisdictional. They could have said, if a company anticipates a phase-in approach or is going to be above this jurisdictional threshold within a certain amount of years, you need to come in on the front end. They did not. They also have been watching this happen over the course of the last 10 years. Various, not maybe in refineries, but certainly in gas processing facilities, many have come in under the threshold and come and not been cited and then sought the siting approval when they got over the threshold. Policymakers knew this is happening. They didn't change this. So that leads me to believe that the policymakers of our state want it this way. And this project is not jurisdictional. So we just, that's, to me, we just, we don't have the siting jurisdiction. They could have come in voluntarily. We urged them to do that. They chose not to. So here we are. And I think that, for me, I agree with the judge's analysis on his order and am willing to, you know, move forward in that direction with the tweaks that you identified, Jack. I think that's good. So we probably need some work on that to clarify the language. But that's kind of where I'm standing on this issue right now.
I'm going to save reaching an opinion until we're in a meeting. And the latest filing that came in, I guess I don't know when it was filed. I was out of town on Friday. I got it today, so to me, that's what I'm talking about, that just came in. And so I've read that and read it thoroughly, but we're still waiting on the company to respond to that, on the judge to do something. So I guess I'm going to keep my options open. But I will say this. I do think at a meeting very soon we need to address this and have it in the best form possible. And so, you know, if the issue on page 9 that you talked about, if that needed to be adjusted some or something, then I'm open to that. As I also mentioned, I think that other thing, instead of 49.5, should say 50 or above, and fix that up. But other than that, I guess I want to get into a meeting and reach a decision on this, and then at that meeting, if someone has a possible dissenting opinion, they can bring it. Or if this is not approved and there is no dissenting opinion, we'll be at that stage then to start the next step of deciding what to do with it. Anything else?
Are you,
I'm done.
You're wrapped up. While the ALJ opinion is certainly compelling and consistent with a number of conversations I've had internally, I still have several things that I'm following up with. And so I'm not willing to offer a final opinion on my own behalf, but I will say this, at least not at this time. So I want to wrap up some more research that I've been working on actually for quite some time. But I think I do want to make one point, and that is, you know, we had different opinions when the company came in, and maybe they were the same, maybe they weren't. But, you know, I think it was at the time it was reported out that we had urged the company to come in for a permit. But just to be clear for the press in the room, I never offered an opinion on that, but the word, I believe, we in the coverage was used. So, you know, just keep in mind three different commissioners, potentially three different opinions, and maybe they're consistent, maybe they're not. But maybe that's a deja vu from my days in the media business. So, this is an important decision. So, I still have to complete my work on it, and then we'll move forward from there in terms of the process.
So, from a procedural standpoint, we won't take it up in a meeting until the 10 days and the expires, and we hear back from the ALJ on this issue that was filed on Friday or this morning, whenever it was officially entered into the docket.
Assuming a more thorough analysis of the law says that that's what the case is.
Whatever the time period is.
If there's a clear time period, then we'll follow that and wait that many days. Maybe since no one remembers it for sure, maybe it doesn't say, and maybe the company responds in a couple days and the judge responds in a couple days and it goes faster. I don't know, but we'll certainly, we certainly will follow the law and leave time for a response and for the judge, I think.
Meanwhile, there really is nothing for staff to be developing.
I think they Correct? Could be thinking about these two little changes in case the judge doesn't change anything. But
and we would expect that staff would at least begin to prepare draft orders. They're short, but if you were adopting an order in whole, I mean, there's a form we use, sort of a template, and we would at least get the package ready. Whether it's ever used or not is another question, but in the meantime, in the time we have, I think we should be doing that much.
Or it's possible, we've seen it with other cases, where the staff ends up spending some time working with the commissioner on a dissenting opinion.
Right. There could be three or four different things staff is working on related to this, but I think we'll be doing that during this time, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, we won't wait.
A couple other housekeeping issues. There was, looking back through a number of the filings, there was some reference to some information we gathered in the past, including the jurisdictional determinations. And with regards to the discussion that we had with the company when they came in here, I would also request that we move that into the record as part of this determination. It's related to everything that's been filed already as well. And if there's anything that a commissioner, through their own investigation or on discussions, that if there's any information that they plan on making the determination upon, that also be presented for inclusion in the record as well, if there's any documentation.
Would we need to do that in advance of the meeting at which we reach a decision?
Mr. Chairman, yes. We would need to have that prior to that as well.
And so we might have to have a special commission meeting to add that information to the record.
That's correct.
The example you stated is sitting there. It is what it is. Would it be possible to, for just that purpose of that one thing, have a special commission meeting right now?
Mr. Chairman, I don't think we need a special meeting for that. For the purpose of that, we just need an approval from all direction from the three commissioners to move that, because we do have to do some procedural things with that as well.
What are you talking about with that? Did I miss something?
We're talking about the first thing we're talking about is the I-file. The contents of the I-file that has been provided to people. Right? The first part of it is the contents of the I-file.
If anybody requested that, the contents of the I-file has been presented, and looking from the complaints and different filings, it has been referenced, the documents from that. So because of that, we want to make sure that that actual works discussion that was in there is actually put into the record as well, since it encompasses all those filings that everyone has been referencing.
And what do you need to do that?
Just commission direction.
Just commission direction.
I, quite honestly, I thought we had already done that. So, yeah, I think that's important.
I think it's absolutely important. So, go ahead.
Thank you.
And then the second part is if commissioners are obtaining information to use in reaching a decision, then that needs to be disclosed to the parties. And the way you do that is...
And to the other commissioners.
I'd like to know what this information is. You'll get to look it up yourself. But the point is, you know, and there could be, if you played that out, the hypothetical all the way out, you know, someone could say, well, I'm objecting to that going in, or I want to cross-examine someone, produce that information or whatever. We don't exactly know what that is, so because we don't know what the information is, we can't advise you. The iFile, we think pretty much everybody's already seen, but it'll be in the record, and they'll have the same right to, you know, question or bring something up. But we have produced that record for people previously, reproduced it and distributed it. So I don't know that there'll be a lot of surprises in the iFile that goes into the record.
And that includes the informal discussion we had at this table with the company.
I believe that, I don't think that was recorded, was it?
I believe it was recorded.
If it was recorded, it's in the iFile.
So in terms of research that, for example, I'm not interacting with other agencies, but I'm aggressively looking into different types of records, et cetera, that would be included, or just interaction?
I think that you don't want to mix up the concept of ex parte communication with the record. If it's something that you're going to use to help you make a decision, then it needs to go in the record.
Okay.
And parties have a right to dispute it or whatever, question someone about it, whatever.
Well, do you anticipate another work session, or do you want to just go to make a decision? It's awfully helpful for me to hear what you guys are thinking. Like, I don't, and if it's a lot different than what's out here, or what, I mean, it's, maybe I'd think things differently, too, if I was hearing what you're analysis is in arguments. So I think it's helpful, although it's difficult when there's, you know, when we're doing this publicly, having these discussions, it's really helpful. So I hope at some point we can talk about where you guys are on this too.
Well, if, for example, company weighs in or chooses not to weigh in, the judge responds at the end of whatever the time period, whenever he decides to do it, and says, I don't change it. It doesn't change my mind a bit. And so it's this exact same thing. If our staff tweak the two things that we've talked about, which are important but not complex tweaks, I would be ready to just vote on this thing. I wouldn't see what we would really talk about that we wouldn't talk about at the meeting. So, but if things are changed significantly, then I would expect we would need a work session. Does that make sense?
Kind of. Sure.
I don't feel I need another work session to discuss basically this same thing. If it changes a lot, then I would.
Okay. All right.
Last thing then I will say is, I expect it's the same for both of you. I've got good friends that feel completely opposite on this and have been good to this point. And so if we can get up and walk out of the room and you don't engage us in any ex parte discussions, then I don't have to be rude and deny the conversation stop the conversation. So we can't engage in these discussions outside of these kind of this formal atmosphere. So thank you for respecting that. We're concluded.